Rod's Pulse Podcast number 51, Supplemental Podcasting, and PodSafe Music.
Brought to you in part by Illuminate, where bright ideas meet.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
Problem is all the new increased security. That's what the O'Hare Baggage Service said to me. We think your garment bags in Stuttgart, Germany. There must be 50 ways to lose your luggage. I said, again, it must take roomfuls of your files. I sure wish my missing bags received their frequent flyer miles. No doubt they've earned a trip to the Polynesian Isles with all your 50 ways to lose your luggage. 50 ways to lose your luggage. Just if the sky cap, Jack, agree to get.
Hi, this is Rod. Welcome back. How's that for a change of pace? A comedy tune called 50 Ways to Lose Your Luggage by Robert Lund of the Funny Music Project. I think you'll get a kick out of that, so stay tuned, and I'll play the full song at the end of my podcast. Of course, that's based on 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover by Simon and Garfunkel. Although I didn't lose my luggage the last time I traveled, the TSA decided that rather than use a Samsonite key, which can open up any Samsonite luggage produced in the past 50 years, they decided to break the locks off of my expensive piece of luggage, so I could certainly identify with this piece. First, some news from the Podosphere. Now, I've been talking about National Distance Learning Week, which is coming up November 12th to the 16th. I have a link to the website on my show notes. So I've been keeping my eye out for websites and blogs that deal with distance learning in different forms. And I just wanted to point out two. I found one called the Center for Interactive Learning and Collaboration. To quote from their website, they're a nonprofit center that supports and advances education through video conferencing and other collaborative technologies. They offer access to quality professional development and student educational content, as well as consulting and technical assistance. So check it out if you're interested in interactive learning. I know a lot of my audience would be. They have a really interesting section there where they have a networking center. If you're K-12 or higher education, interested in problem-based learning, et cetera, they have different communities of interest. So it looks like a very worthwhile site. The other site I wanted to point out today was Online University's weblog. Just to give you an idea of the kind of articles that's covered by this website, I'll just read a couple titles to you. Blended Online Math Courses, Innovations That Have Changed the College Experience, Free Online Education, Virtual Flight Training, How to Be the Ideal Online College Applicant, and a review of the Harvard Extension programs. Now today what I'm going to do is continue my review and commentary on the white paper called Podcasting, a Teaching with Technology white paper by Ashley Deal of Carnegie Mellon University. And as I mentioned last time, the paper divides podcasting into three realms. Last time I covered the realm of delivery of lecture archives, and today I'm going to cover delivery of supplemental content. The study points out that building supplemental materials using podcasts tend to be more successful in that they're put together with more thought and design to use the podcasting medium to its best potential. They go on to report two different examples of supplemental material. One study comes from Appalachian State University. They use podcasts to restructure class time. The research involved comparing two classes, one which had a traditional lecture-based approach, and the second one where they were required to view the podcasts. These were video podcasts, view them in place of the traditional lecture, and then lecture time was given to follow-up for questions and review. In the second group, there was absolutely no lecturing from slides in class. All the lectures were viewed outside of class as video podcasts. The class time was devoted to activities typically reserved for labs, problem-solving, document preparation, and working on the course project. Although they showed no significant difference in their exam performance, the final project grades were 10% higher in the students that used the video podcasts. As I've been saying for a long time, it's pretty easy to create your own podcast, but I thought this would be a good time to remind you that it's even easier if you have a product called Podcast LX and you're using Blackboard. I interviewed Hal Herzog, Vice President of Product Development for Learning Objects, back in my podcast number 26, so I thought it would be a good time to remind you how easy it is to add your own pre-recorded mini lectures to your course content.
That is now Podcast LX, and it adds podcasting to Blackboard, as the name implies. We've set it up in such a way that it's just like adding course content. That is, you don't really need to know or think about what RSS is. You certainly don't need to have iTunes U or even know or have or know what an iPod is or have an iPod. Simply add content into the system, and then if an instructor wants, they can share out their podcast feed with the entire world or with a subset.
How does it appear to the user? Do they have to go to a specific folder in a course, or is there some way that they can see a list of all the podcasts that might be available to them?
As a student, when you go into a course, there are two ways that you can see the podcasts that are going on. Number one, since it's course content, you can simply browse around your course and notice that some items have the podcast icon. You can then click on the link and listen to that particular episode or lecture. In addition, we built a tool that sits in the communications area, and you can promote that up to the main menu, which will show all of the podcasted lectures within that course, regardless of where they happen to be sitting.
The second example they give in the white paper regarding supplemental content using podcasts has to do with teaching cardiac auscultation. Now, in traditional lectures, the students only have a short period of time to listen to cardiac murmurs. So podcasting really is important because in this case, the listening is a technical skill. And in a study by Michael Barrett, Dr. Michael Barrett from Temple University Medical Center, he showed that the student really needs to listen to a given murmur almost 500 times before they really master the art of listening and diagnosing cardiac murmurs. As it turns out, I interviewed Dr. Barrett on my podcast number 38, so let's hear what Dr. Barrett has to say.
I've been bothered by a long time by the fact that medical students don't, we don't do a very good job of teaching them to recognize heart sounds. A lot of the work over the years has shown that medical students only recognize 30 to 40% of abnormal heart murmurs, and in fact, this doesn't improve for their entire medical training right through residency. So a few years ago, I began to look into this problem, and what I discovered was learning to recognize heart sounds was not a cognitive skill. It wasn't something you had to study from a book and learn. Mm-hmm. It was a technical skill. You had to hear that sound about 500 times. Mm-hmm. So the best way to achieve that kind of repetition, I thought, was to create some audio files, which we then would distribute to the students actually over the web.
I see. The past, I know there were devices where, you know, you can have more than one student listening to somebody's heart sound, or I think at Jefferson they used a device where it would actually, in a lecture hall, would broadcast a sound to remote stethoscopes. Is that something that you had also used? Or?
Yeah, that's actually, most of those devices use a simulator, like a Harvey,
right,
a human simulator, and then they use infrared headphones to broadcast mm-hmm. it to an entire class. And I've used Harvey. The problem with that is each murmur needs to be heard about 500 times.
Mm-hmm.
So if you work that through, that's about 10 minutes.
Right.
And that's a little bit long to lock kids in a classroom. And, you know, you're trying to teach a base of five murmurs.
Uh-huh.
So that's just a little bit too much time for that kind of direct contact. So what we did was we actually put these audio files together with the 500 repetitions in each file. And then we put them on the web, and the students would download it to their iPods. And now they're free to wander around, listen while they commute, listen while they work out. It's a much more, acceptable way to get that kind of repetition in.
So to sum up these first two realms of podcasting, I guess I would say that capturing lectures is relatively easy to do, and the students love it, and it doesn't seem to take away from student attendance at lectures. Creating a podcast to present supplemental material holds a lot of promise and probably has the best educational value when it comes down to the actual value of a podcast minute for minute. So I'm going to hold off on doing the third realm when we're going to talk about having students create their own podcast until next time. So that about does it for today then. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. Till next time, have a great week.
Please leave odd feedback at 610-616-2199.
I'm happy to say that Illuminate is now sponsoring my podcast. If you're searching for a perfect web collaboration solution, look no further than Illuminate. In fact, they're giving away free 3-user V-Rooms with no restrictions. They're the award-winning product that has all the real-time collaboration features you want, including a whiteboard, application sharing, voice over IP, and video. You can sign up for a free V-Room by clicking on the Illuminate graphic on my webpage or visit www.getvroom.com/rodspulse.
The problem is all the new increased security. That's what the O'Hare Baggage Service said to me. We think your garment bags in Stuttgart, Germany. There must be 50 ways to lose your luggage. I said, again, it must take roomfuls of your files. I sure wish my missing bags received their frequent flyer miles. No doubt they've earned a trip to the Polynesian Isles with all your 50 ways to lose your luggage. 50 ways to lose your luggage. Just if a skycap, Jack, agree to get bumped, Gump, board in the dark, Mark, or try to fly free. Pack too much weight, Kate, or arrive at the gate late. Just make the crew cross, Ross, and get your bags lost. Ooh, pack too much shell, Mel. Close them with locks, Knox. Fly when it's snowy, Chloe, or boarding group C. There's gonna be snags, Babs, so don't lose your bag tags. Cause I've got a feeling, Leland, your stuff's in New Zealand. Why must it be the most important stuff they lose? I wished I'd carried on my clothes and checked the pills and booze. I thought, well, I'll tour this place in just a pair of shoes. Who'll notice anyways? I streaked through town till some policeman shouted halt, and I believe he mentioned something about a sexual assault. And then he cuffed me, but you realize it's really not my fault. It's cause there's 50 ways to lose your luggage. 50 ways to lose your luggage. Just pack lots of fruit, Newt. Check it online, Klein. Fly at Christmas, Chris, you poor SOB. If connections are tight, Dwight, or you're bumped to a night flight. Have fun in L.A., Ray, your stuff's in Bombay. Ooh, pack too much liquid, Dickwad. Joke about bombs, Tom. Carry on, Mace, Grace. Then lose your ID. Bring cans of Raid, Jade. Then run when they're X-rayed. If your luggage is stinky, Twinkie, it's shot to Helsinki.
According to FAA regulations, any piece of baggage left unattended will be taken out to the tarmac and blown up. By me. So I really hope it happens.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback.
You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.